Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pookie bear.
Your lammy lumpkin.
Your bubby chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex, so don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to fourparents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Hey, In the middle like that, faded out. But you can't catch me off guard. I was born ready. I'm like, come on, I'm right here. Pull me out, pull me out. As a matter of fact, don't pull me out. I'll come out when I'm ready. And then they induced me. I was like, oh, man, I'm trying to come out when I'm ready. Yes, transitions happens many levels. Julie Dexter, transition. Are you moving through transitions in your life? Are you struggling? Are you going through and glowing through some things that are just hard for you to handle? You need support. You need someone to hold you up. Maybe you just need somebody to give you a hug and tell you you're going to make it. Well, I'm giving you a hug right now. You can't feel it? Well, you know, you need to tap into your inner self. Close your eyes and feel me hugging you right now and saying it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It's all part of the process. You signed up for this, and I believe in you. I am standing with you, knowing that you are going through and growing through your changes, and it's for your highest good and everyone else. So keep growing, keep going, don't stop, keep moving. You're going to walk through the valley of shadow of death, but you're never supposed to buy land there. Just keep walking. Look at it and say, interesting. It's kind of dark here. Ouch, it hurts, but keep walking. I don't know if I can make it, but keep walking. Just keep walking, one step at a time, baby steps. If you need to take a break, take a break. But just keep walking and keep breathing, because as long as you're breathing, you keep activating that light inside of you, and you will shine the light. You will be the light. Mm-hmm. Every moment, we have that opportunity to remember who and what we are. And be the light. It's not always easy. That's why we need each other. We need a community to support us. And yes, and I got to leave this with you. I'm not going anywhere, but I want to leave this with you. If you have to go, remember, listening is an act of love. Listening. No matter how much you know, no matter how much you're feeling, listening is an act of love. Listening from a deep place with compassion, with understanding. Yeah, that can transform somebody's life, just listening to them. And we can support each other as we move through changes. It's happening. It's the only thing that's constant. You are changing. You may think you're the same person you were last night before you went to bed. No, you're not. You have new cells. Your skin has changed. Your bones are doing what they need to do. Your body has done what it needs to do. You've eliminated some stuff. You're not the same person. Change is life. Life is change. Take a breath. Breathe in. Remember that you are the place where God gets to recognize himself, herself, itself, whatever works for you. And if you don't even do the God thing, it's okay. You are the place where love gets to express itself. So just express the love. I'm not interested in what you believe in or don't believe in. As long as you're a wonderful human being and you're about passion and bringing people together, creativity and joy, let's dance. Let's dance. And speaking of dancing, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you. wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You certainly do. Just keep breathing. Stay alive. Stay alive. Stay in the light. Just feel your body and know that you make a difference. Because every thought you're thinking is making a difference on the planet right now. Everything you're feeling is making a difference right now. And if you can't see how it's making a difference in the planet, just think about it's making a difference in your world. You know, you can choose a liberating thought, or you can choose a thought that makes you feel in bondage, and your body will feel it, and then you get worried, and then you start, you know, all kind of stuff that happening. You're making a difference. Don't ever doubt that you're making a difference on this planet. No matter what that looks like, I encourage you to stop the judgment and recognize that you are here for something great, something amazing. That's right, amazing, amazing. You gotta find your way through the maze of life. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, the Nutty Professor. No other names, just that's enough for now. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived on iTunes. All you got to do is simple. Just go there, subscribe, and type in Life Conversations. Leave out the radio, Life Conversations, and you have the shows downloaded to your lappy, your tablet, your paddy, your putty, your celly, you know, whatever you got. You may even download into your consciousness. You put your, nowadays, who knows what's possible? You can put your hands on your computer and just installation taking place. Please take a breath. Release. Updated. Activated. We're not far from it, you know. Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. Believe me, there are gadgets now that responds to your thought. Everything is energy. Just because you don't see it, just because you don't know it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just breathe with me. It's okay. Don't get scared. Don't worry. Two emotions, love or fear. Which one are you going to choose? Yeah, that's enough way to wrap that up and keep moving. The number is 347-426. 3346. 347-426. 3346. I welcome all of you in the chat room. Welcome home. Universal family. Teresa is in the house. Silent listeners are in the house. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Emilio, woohoo! My brother, my brother, my brother. I haven't done an impression of you. I got to rehearse a little bit. I can't remember. It's been a while. We've been some kind of disconnect. We need to reconnect. And all the others listening on the phone line, thank you for being here. Our guest is here, Elder Emily. Muti Emily, a.k.a. Muti. It's all about transition. And my wonderful, wonderful co-producers in the house, Celeste Morgan. And, thank you for all you do, Celeste. I really appreciate you because my crazy self, I get so far out there. I'm like, woohoo! What are we doing again? You have a way to bring me back. You need to mention this. You got to remember to say that. So thank you for all you do. I just got to open my eyes to read what you're saying. Okay, yes, how was the weekend? Did you have a great weekend? And if you're listening to the archive and this is the middle of the week, yeah, how was your weekend? And your weekend could be any day because my weekend, Saturday or Sunday, was so packed. Conference calls and this and that I have to have a weekend during the week. Because I have the power to declare how I want to end my week, how I want to honor myself. It's all about rest. You got to rest, you know. I trust you had a great time, great weekend, great moment, and you're reconnecting with the truth of who you are, even now, in this moment, no matter what was going on before you came here, before you started listening to the show. I trust and declare that you're connecting with the essence of who you are, and you can feel a love inside of you like no other. And you're saying, but why do I feel happy? What is it? No, there doesn't have to be a reason to be happy. Just be happy just because. Because you choose to be happy. You don't need a reason to be happy, but if you need a reason, go ahead and find one. But really, you don't. You don't need a reason to be sad either if you choose that. Yes, we are the place where God gets to recognize himself, herself, itself. So why not choose goodness? Why not choose greatness? And when we do that, we can support those around us. We can support our children. We can affirm them. We can recognize their gifts. And we're going to talk more about that today. We're having a conversation on rites of passage. What does that mean? And, you know, there's more I want to say about that, but I won't go into it right now because I want to bring my guest on. So number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. It's kind of hot in here. I needed to cool down. What do I need to do? Maybe I'm just on fire. If you hear beep, beep, it must be the smoke detector. Maybe I'm setting myself ablaze. So let me drink some water. Okay, so we're taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, because this is the house of love. Feel free to call in and ask questions, maybe challenges you're having with your children, the next door neighbor's son, a daughter, or just dealing with stuff. We're here to support you. This is the house of love. If you don't want to call in because you think your neighbor is going to be listening and going to hear your voice and you don't want to start no trouble, you can post your questions, your comments, your thoughts on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Ask Life Coach at a like page, and we will definitely get to it, and address your concerns, your questions, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Water is good. But if you really want to keep it a secret and you don't want anybody to know your business and you say Facebook is not a place to put this, well, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com, and then hover under Life Conversations Radio. Then there's a drop menu and just click the Ask Life Coach at a. Man, it's so much fun in my own head. I got all these people in my head talking and just won't keep quiet, interrupting my thoughts. Can y'all keep it down? I'm trying to do a show. Okay. Well, they looked at me and said, yeah, whatever, man. You create your own reality. Okay. Well, I'm going to create a peaceful reality. What else do I need to tell you? 1 o'clock, or in the words of Celeste Morgan, around one, we have Celestial Moment. Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, around one. And what else do I need to tell you? The upcoming guest. Tomorrow we have Bishop Carlson. You know, he's a regular here. Soon we got to get him his own show. He's a regular. He comes here every month, really. And guess what we're talking about tomorrow? Ooh, juicy stuff. Spiritual romance. Ooh. You know, you get so caught up in your spirituality, you turn yourself on. That's right. I said it. If you can't handle this, okay, take a breath. You turn yourself on because you realize you're intoxicated with God. But what we're really talking about tomorrow, as I digress, is how do you, you know, supporting people to incorporate their spirituality in their romantic relationship. Because sometimes we think those two don't go together, spirituality and romance, or sex and spirituality. Oh, God, God doesn't need us not to see us making love because God would be upset. Come on, get over yourself. So tomorrow we're going to talk about, you know, how to blend new awareness, new way of being. A lot of us are committing to our spiritual growth, and sometimes we feel that we're growing more than our partner, our husband, our wives, and they're not spiritual, not meditating, and you're struggling, and you're forgiving, and they're still holding grudges, and people are struggling. We're blending it. Then there are people who are spiritual who said, well, I've learned to love myself. I meditate. I go out in the forest, and I hug trees. But I still can't find anybody. What the heck is going on? So tomorrow we're going to be talking about how to blend your new awareness with love, because they work together. And so much more. You know, when Bishop Carlton is in the house, anything is possible. And I think a combination of Bishop Carlton and myself will blow your mind, expand your consciousness, so you don't want to miss the show. And then we got some other shows coming. Next, I'm just going to say, next Monday, we have, who is it? Monique Ruffin. We're talking about spiritual politics. That's right. You got to be accountable. Stop fussing on Facebook and deleting people because they don't support who you support. Get over yourself. You got to deal with your own stuff. Well, Monique ain't going to be saying all of that. I might be saying all of that. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow and then on Monday. Spiritual politics. Yes, they go together. We are committed to integrating life, not separating life. Politics, romance, relationship, your baby daddy, your baby mama, whatever you're dealing with that you think goes together with God. We are here to bring it together. I think I better stop before I dig a hole for myself, because some people may be listening to the show for the first time saying, why did Moochie accept the interview on the show? Because she knows. She knows love. That's why. You keep listening, you will too. What is going on with me today? Let me see. Anything else I need to say, Celeste? Yep. That's right. I think I covered everything. All right. She told me everything I need to say, and then she ends it. Say, don't forget to talk about tomorrow's show. And then she said, you're a mess. What are you talking about? I'm not a mess. Oh, yes, I am a mess. And I embrace my mess. So I can get the message. And when I catch the message, I can be the messenger. Yep, I embrace my mess. I think it's time to bring on Elder Emily, a.k.a. Mooty Emily, a.k.a. Mooty. It will all make sense in a minute. It will all make sense. Let's see. I want to do this, actually, as I get ready to read her bio. And just play a little bit of this, because I heard something say, play, welcome her. Let's welcome the ancestors are welcoming her, and we're honoring her for the work she does, and you're going to get to find out. But I got to do this. I'm sorry. Where is it? So we could play this for about a minute or two. Want to activate all your chakras and get all in alignment and welcome the ancestors, those who have left ancient wisdom, and we are waking up to it so that we can create harmony. Not just, you don't need to create harmony. Harmony already exists. We can allow harmony. We can embrace the balance. We can see the balance, even if it looks chaotic. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We'll play a little bit of song, and then we'll bring on, I call her Elder Emily. That's just my affectionate name for her. But she's Mooty. Okay, stop it. Play the song, man. Come on. All right, ancestors, we welcome you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Please bring us blessings of peace. Amen. Fuani alafia, ashe, ashe. Yes. Peace of mind, joy, blessings. From the sky above, we welcome the ancestors. We welcome our elders. We welcome those who came before us. We welcome you as parents, as listeners, as adults, as caregivers, as a lover of life. We need to take time to welcome ourselves. We go through and grow through so much. Life does not come with an instruction, someone said. So sometimes you make a mistake. Sometimes you get it right. When you make a mistake, you get another chance to do it all over again. And today we're having a conversation about rites of passage, how we support our children to embrace the mistakes of life, to embrace the mess of life, if you will. And then by teaching them to embrace it, they can get the message, and then they can take the message out to become messengers of love, of joy, of peace. GYE Mater, to find out more about them, their website address is gyemater.org. That's GIWAYENMATA.org. Excuse me. And you can find them on Facebook as well. Now, let's bring them. Yeah, I just surrendered. Elder Emily. Muti Emily, a.k.a. Muti. Let me read a little bit about her. And if you've got children, if you're having issues with your child, if you're a teacher, you need to pay attention. If you don't have children, you need to pay attention, especially if you don't have children. Because sometimes people who don't have children know exactly what parents need to do, and the problem is the parents, they don't have this at home. Go sit down somewhere. I love that song. I can't let it go, but I'm going to let it go in a minute. Okay, I'll let it play in the background. Elder Emily Diane Gunter is the founder of the Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Foundation, an international facilitator. The foundation dedicated to bring peace to our world through the personal development and spiritual development of all youth. In truth, simplicity, and love. Elder Emily is an inspirational keynote speaker, a retreat facilitator, educational consultant, and a spiritual life coach, and an author. She has traveled around the world, officiating rites of passage, youth empowerment retreats, and elder certification retreats for communities interested in starting their own rites of passage program in schools, churches, community centers. The foundation of all Emily's work has been the power of your breath for balanced lifelong learning. The power of your breath for balanced lifelong learning. She's been at this a long time. And she learns and teaches. She learns and teaches. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my guests, myself, my sister, my mother, our elder Emily Gunter. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing, Elder Emily, Muti Emily?
You can just call me Elder Emily if you like. I am so happy to be here. Yes, thank you. I didn't realize I was going to get a full keynote address for my day. It was just absolutely delightful. I was over here taking notes, and I was like, oh, my, this is wonderful. I said, I'm just enjoying this as just listening. So I'll make sure I listen to you every day from here on in.
Ah, yes. Thank you. I am so grateful. My heart is really full. We haven't talked in a long time.
Yeah.
And just before the show, I heard your voice, and I just felt my body just relaxed. So I'm really, really grateful that you're here, and for all that you're going to share. And I'm ready to jump in. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Yes, let's do this. I heard that we're going to have a wonderful conversation. And I always tell everyone that the answer is always in the question. So I'm ready for whatever questions you have.
Great. That's a nice segue to my first question. So my first question is, you heard a little bit, you know who you are, but my listeners may, you know, maybe one or two of them haven't heard of you. I don't know where they've been, but, you know, I've given them a little bit about you. And listeners, you can go to her website, is Rites of Passage Online.
.org.
Lights, yes, I have to think about that for a minute. Lights of Passage Online.org. So you can find out more about her work. Now, so I've read a little bit about your bio, but I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Elder Emily? Emily.
Well, this is my rap. I am a grandmother who loves the children and loves all people. And with my mission to bring peace to the world through the personal empowerment and the spiritual development of especially the youth, but everyone that I touch. I'm just a heart. And that's my job.
Yes,
my full-time job is to love others and to let them see my heart. And when they see my heart, they can see their heart and be able to love the divine a lot more.
I don't know about the others or the listeners. I know I feel that love. I really do. And, yeah, we're definitely going to talk after the show because I feel like I just want to talk to you and forget listeners. But they're here to hear you, what you got. Yes, you are truly a grandmother who loves, and you do that naturally. You do it effortlessly. And I think, you know, let's just start from the beginning. We're talking about rites of passage. For some people may be aware of what this is. Some people are saying, what is that? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, what is rites of passage?
Well, the rites of passage process is a time-honored African tradition of sharing the wisdom of the elders in a community and pass it on to the youth. And there are eight elements of a rites of passage program. First, there's the elders, the teachers, the counselors, the parents, who come forth to share whatever special knowledge they have in them to the children for continuity of the community. The second part is a sacred space. Every place that you meet a child, even if it's just out on a playground, it can be created as a sacred space just from the love that you give and surround the child with. The third part is the child themselves, who have stopped in their busy little days with their computers and their laptops and their iPads and their phones especially and texting, to stop and take a moment to listen and to learn from the elders. And then the fourth part is the challenges. We have challenges that are part of our curriculum internationally that children must go through in order to know who they are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're lost. And if somebody finds you and you don't know who you are, you can't even tell them how to help you. So we help children to identify who they are in the body with their genius, their special talents, you know, and knowing how their own, show them how their own mind works and know their values. Because when you know your values, you can know your genius and you can know your special talents. But if you don't have values to match with that, now you have a child who's a genius who's out of order. And then the fifth part is staying the course with the child. No matter how they act out, no matter what they say, no matter what their actions are, you know, bottom line, that there's a beautiful spirit inside who's just looking for love and looking for someone to guide them into themselves so they can know better who they are. And then you have the sixth part. And this is crucial. This is when the child all of a sudden starts to get it. That they are loved, they are cared for, and that they have genius and they have a special talent that they can use to work with and give to the community and the world as their profession, as their job, as their volunteer work. And then there is the all of a sudden, the da-da, I am all that, and I'm going to do more. And the eighth part is where the elders bring those children before the community and have a crossover and say, they made it. Look at that. Look at your child now. And the thing that has been amazing to me over the years is on a weekend, starting at Friday, about 4 o'clock, that they will bring me 100 kids. And those children We would put them through this whole process with the elders, the sacred space, the challenges, and as the critical mass of information is given to them and they're choosing whether they're going to take it or not, and they cross over and start believing in themselves and then go on through to the full ceremony and watching these children transform over a weekend. But we ask the parents, you must continue to believe in this child. Don't let what they did, and it's like you stretch a rubber band, it never goes back to that same size. That's what we do. We stretch the children to let them see what it is that they're capable of. And we have all kinds of challenges and activities that do just that. And every time they have an aha moment, I tell the children, I have nothing to teach you. And their first reaction is, I was going to listen to you anyway. And I said, but you have everything to learn. It's true. But then I go on to say, but you have everything to learn. And then they're like, what? And then I say, and don't believe a thing I say. Nothing. Go and prove it to yourself. You want to challenge what I'm telling you, about the world, about how you fit into the world for your values, that who you are today is who you're going to be 100 years from now by the values you set as the foundation of your life. So just don't believe nothing I say. Write it down. Write the things you want to challenge. You can look on the internet, a keyword, and it'll all come up. Enjoy your journey because you are in a race with destiny one moment at a time. For your life, because it's only one moment. Time, there's no time. It's only now. Now, I mean, every time I speak a word, it's in the past, and I can't get to the future. All I have is now. So you're in a race with destiny one moment at a time, and there's only one moment, and you're it. And don't give up. Don't give up on yourself, because around the corner, that next breath might be your turnaround.
I'm just pacing myself. I'm drinking it in and listening and feeling it. You know, there are people who may be listening to this, and they may think, oh, she's talking about how things used to be. I wish you could bring that back. Because, yes, they may think this is you telling a story of how it used to be, because they don't see something like that. Or the children they see around them in their mind, the kids who don't know how to respect elders or who are not well behaved.
That's true.
I don't know. But I'm just going to ask anyway. Why does it seem like what you just talked about? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and you're not the only one. There are other people doing programs like this. But why does it seem like we still believe the hype? Like children are missing out, they're bad, they don't listen, and all the other stuff. Why is that more prevalent than what you're talking about?
Because in our antiquated school systems that we have now, that everyone is looking around like, how can we embrace, how can we change the way our school systems are? How can we change the times that they go? To have a child who has all these eight geniuses, eight of them, they are people smart. They're self-smart, they're math smart and number smart, they're visually smart with art smart, they're music smart, very music smart, they're kinesthetic smart through dancing and through sports. They're also word smart, you know, where they love to read, they love to speak, and they love to rap, and then they're nature smart, you know, they can understand what's happening in nature than most of the adults. And they have all these 18-year-olds operating at the same time, and no one's asked them, who are you in the body, and what do you want to do with your life? Nobody's asking, so they have all this stirring in them. Nobody's asking, and they're told to sit still in a class all day long, not making it too much experiential until they get to the higher sciences. And they're saying, just sit there and behave. You're to be seen and not heard. That doesn't work for our children of today. They are brilliant. Every child that I meet now, you know, if people haven't heard of the indigo child or any of that conversation, all the children who are showing up on the planet now are bringing gifts to this planet to help us transcend into the golden age of peace. But nobody's asking them. No one's empowering them. No one's appreciating who they are in the body. As soon as you start to appreciate a child, you have a child who's going to change, because they're going to love knowing about who they are themselves.
That's right.
And how they can contribute to the world, not just be someone who's being talked at but conversated with. And ask, what is your opinion? And see it go into action.
So let's go focus on parents who are doing their spiritual work, who understand that their child has a gift. They are a genius. They got something to offer. That the child is looking at has a particular gift, and they're as a parent or caregiver, they're doing their work, but somehow they struggle with integrating the new awareness, the spiritual understanding of who and what God is, and they struggle with teaching that to their children. What kind of advice, what tools would you share with them so that they can implement what they're learning for themselves and the things that you just share with us with their children?
The main thing is for them to try not to impress your children. Don't be impressed by your children. Just be yourself. The best example, the best role model is just being yourself with your new spiritual awareness. And then as, let's say, the child is having a hard time, they say, you know, I have found that it works for me if I put my hands on my heart and I take a long, deep breath. And I just go to 17 seconds of silence to clear my mind so I can really hear my wisdom and my genius. And then tell the child, you have wisdom and genius in you too, but you have to get quiet. And for men, they put, and boys, they put their left hand on their heart first because they're male polarity. And for women, because they're female polarity, they put their right hand on their chest first, on their heart, and then take the other hand and put it on top and rub your thumbs because your brain is in your thumbs. You massage your brain. And when you put your hands on your heart, there's a hormone that shows up that turns on your genius, your love, and your relaxed system. And then if they would just breathe a long, deep breath in and a long, deep breath out, 7 in and 10 out, that's 17 seconds of silence. That's all it takes. And for 30 days, whenever the child's having a hard time, you know, ask them to invite them to put their hands on their heart and to breathe. Drink some water. And I tell the parents, sometimes you want to, you know, say, and then you just ask the question, what's going on? Do you want to talk about it? And if they don't, it's okay. You may want to go write it down. Buy your children journals. Because we have found out when children start writing out what's going on, even if it's angry at first or feels disruptive too, let them get it out of their body instead of exploding in their body. We judge our children, I believe, sometimes too harshly before we give them the chance to process what's happening inside of them because they're hearing it all, seeing it all, and feeling it all. They need this safe space to be quiet.
Life. So, really, what I hear and what I've always felt is, you know, when you talk about elders, I mean, I grew up in Nigeria, and there's, there's this idea that if someone is at least 2 years older than you, you don't call them by their first name. You say for uncle this or auntie this, sister this, brother that. And so when I came back to England, and you know, I was in college and students would call the teacher by the first name. He was doing some number to my brain. I remember I shared the story several times on the radio when one of the students told the teacher in the classroom, and the teacher's name was Errol, and he said, Errol, shut up. I screamed. I said, what? Because but I forgot I was in England. It shocked me so much that unconsciously I just screamed like, you just told a teacher to shut up, and you called him by his first name. Not that I wasn't used to that. Well, I can't say used to it. I've heard it. But the fact that he told the teacher to shut up, it was like my subconscious mind just went back to Nigeria, because in Nigeria, you tell a teacher to shut up. Oh, gosh, you're going to get beat at the school and get beat at home and by the neighbors. Now, in the Western world, you get some people say, oh, no, don't call me Mr. This, don't call me that. I'm not old, I'm young. And my point is, I think there's some of the elders, parents, adults, who don't even honor themselves as elders or as adults, or that they have experience to share with the young ones. So they refuse it. Some so-called elders are trying to look young. They invest in money to look younger and doing childlike things. How do we get to that place? No, that's right. Go ahead. Just go ahead. You know where I'm going. Go ahead. Because I think that's the real issue. Because elders have to recognize and respect themselves as elders. And if they're denying, then the young people, they've got their work cut out for them, right?
That's right. Because as soon as you go into denial, the children know they can do anything they want because you're not listening to your own genius. You know, I start off by saying, don't impress. Don't be impressed. Just be yourself. Your highest spiritual self, because all of us have a false ego that we need to make sure that we keep tame and let it know it's out of order when it thinks it's going to rear its ugly head. You know, there's this pyramid of life, and you're breathing and you're relaxing and you're going through your spiritual journey and you're going up this mountain, and then you get to the peak. And then all of a sudden you start losing your way and you start falling back down the mountain and you start breathing and then you go back up again. That's called zero point. And to remain at zero point is just to be yourself. Because when you're trying to be like somebody else or be younger, you're no longer listening to the wisdom that comes through you. And the children who are watching you go through this are confused. They're confused. And then we're saying, we tell the children, we need you to be better. We need you to dress better. We need you to do your better academics. We need you. But yet in the meantime, you're denying your highest self and your highest values. And the children are watching. And then they start mimicking, trying to be like who they think is the role model or the lead jock or whoever at the school or around them. So we have to, we lead by example more than by what we say.
Yes.
And therefore, then we radiate out love, just unconditional love. I don't care how snotty-nosed and noisy-faced the children get. You sit there and give them love and send love to them, and you have patience and compassion as you have in this love. Guess what? They start to say, I want to have peace like that, because they know of all the noise and the chatter in their head.
Yes.
Because of the denial. Because as soon as you deny yourself, your higher self is trying to get through. And you shut it down and slap it down, and then, you know, it tries to get through again, you slap it down. You know, we make our angels crazy. We're up and down, up and down, up and down, not making a decision. Indecision and lack of major purpose is the biggest thief of time. And it's so easy just to choose your purpose. What is your purpose? Like you asked me, who is Muti? And I'm clear. I'm real clear. And people say, oh, you're so wise, and you were an engineer, and you're a math professor, and you've done all these great things all over the world. Can't you, you know, we'd like you to do this. And I'm saying, I'm very honored that you, you know, are honoring my capabilities. But if it doesn't have to do with children and education, I'm not interested, and I appreciate you. But if I did do this particular project, this is how I'd do it. And I'd give them the inspirational spark that I felt as soon as they asked me to do this other challenge. And they're like, and then they go off happy because all they needed was the inspirational spark. And that's what we need to give the kids, the inspirational spark, just to be yourself and help them to really see themselves and appreciate who they are in their body.
And you can't teach that or be that without you experiencing the same thing. So everybody gets inspired. We activate the spark within us as well as the children. And everybody gets, we start to make room and create peace in our lives. There's something you said earlier that I want to go back to. But I want to just invite listeners to call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Donna and Hicham said, this is so good. She's enjoying it. Well, yeah, she actually said, I thought the subject would bore me, and it's exactly what I needed to hear. You know, and that's the thing, you know, people sometimes go by topics that don't understand at all, but she said, listen, this is just what I needed. The number is 347-426-3346. We got some emailed questions. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, because I was like, huh? What you talking about, Willis? You said, don't try to impress your children. Don't be impressed by your children. Now, I understand it sits with me to say don't try and impress your children. There's danger there. But the part where you said don't be impressed by your children, I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't that part of receiving love and giving love and feeling the love? Please talk more.
Let me help you.
Please.
Because the thing is, some parents are so impressed by who their children are and what comes through their children, you know, just on their special talent, they forget about helping the child to be a balanced child. They forget about, they go into denial that your child has these other 8 areas to be balanced in their life. And all they're going for is maybe just their musical talent. And the reason why I know so well is because Kadir, my son, who's the famous artist who just came out with the Martin Luther King book, picture book for children, and the Heart and Soul, the Story of American African Americans, he started drawing when he was 3. And at 5, you know, I was almost taken aback and impressed by this child. But on the other hand, when he wasn't drawing, he was a terror. You know? And he didn't want to study. He didn't want to read. He didn't want to write. He didn't want to do math. And he was failing in school, but he was a beautiful artist. I said, well, you're going to grow up to be a artist dummy. I said, and that won't do any good for anybody. And so, therefore, I had to become unimpressed and appreciate his talent, guide his talent, but not let it run my life, you know, or run his life so he could turn out to be a beautiful, balanced father, businessman, artist, author, you know, son that he is today. Does that make sense?
Recognize. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, not be so focused. I mean, really being able to look at the whole child the things you've been talking about. I hear that your work is you deal with the whole human being. You deal with every part of them. You broke down, you know, the brain and what to put the left hand and the right hand and what part you're activating. All of that sometimes is a foreign conversation. And I think that I know that's very important. Now, let's tell with you. You talked about your son, Kadir, who, you know, really the genius. What about parents who have kids that are genius? I mean, all of them are, but there's some that stand out, especially when how we look at them in society and what they're learning, and they're in college by the age of 10 and graduating before they even become teenagers. And then, on the other hand, there's some other kids that are labeled ADHD, ADD, and all the A's, whatever it is. My God, if I was a child, I would be on all kind of drugs. I'm glad I missed that phase. They'd be like, he's not going to amount to nothing. He's just going to keep talking, and he won't keep quiet. But I'm glad I was born when I was born. But anyway.
No, it just means that you are an interpersonal, that you're people smart, and you love to relate. And those children are the ones who are in juvie hall. Those are the ones being sent out of the classroom. Those are the ones who are not learning because they're not in the classroom. These are the ones, if the teacher would recognize that they had that interpersonal genius, and they would paraphrase what the teacher just taught so that the kids would all get it and understand, they are throwing their asset out of the classroom instead of using it. You see what I'm saying? You know, so looking at the whole child, but you got to make sure you're feeding them real live food, fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains and whole grains, that you're actually making sure that they're drinking more water, which I call sky juice, than that red zooped up juice and false sugar waters, that all that sugar going into the body is basically putting them on a sugar high, which is tremendous highs, tremendous lows, no nutritional value. Kid goes all pumped off to school and all these sweet sugars and sweet pastries and cereals, and then by 9 o'clock, 9:30, when they need to be studying and reading, they're half asleep. And then it's because they're trying not to fall asleep, they start acting out like a 3-year-old child trying to stay awake. And then the teacher throws them out the classroom. They need to get them off all these tackies, this red dye, these hot fries that fry up and burn up the brain. All children have the ability to learn. All children right now who are coming on the planet, they are genius. But we're giving them drugs to shut them down rather than to find out what the genius is and help them to identify and learn to their genius and their special talents instead of to a test. The children are resisting. They're dropping out of high school. 50% of our kids don't even finish high school. Why? Because it's not relating to the children, teaching to the whole child, to their genius, and show them how they can, and giving them citizenship training. You know, how to become a responsible adult. That's rites of passage.
So rites of passage really is a community thing. It's not just something you do over the weekend. It's a process. It should be a family thing. It should be a neighborhood thing. It should be
the African proverb. It takes a village, and it does. That African proverb is so wise that everybody. Because I know when I grew up, if I got in trouble, everybody got me all the way home and then all the way to my parents. Everybody had eyes. Everybody had ears. Everybody loved us. But also in that love, they made sure we kept on the straight and narrow because they knew how the individual we would turn out to be if we did.
So I want to ask you this before we take a break.
Yes.
Now, community. It means different things for all of us. Some people may think the spiritual center they go to is their community or the church, the mosque, the temple, or when they go to a park or go camping. And nowadays, there's also that conversation. There's a sense that we don't have community anymore, that people don't look out for one another. We hear it. We see it on social media. People don't look out for one another. With the kind of life that we've created, that we're experiencing right now, how do you suggest we create community while we all are so-called busy?
Well, the fact that we're so mobile, we're not walking, and we're in cars. We drive out our driveway. A lot of people only know who their next door neighbors are. They're living in the same apartment building. Everybody's living at all different times, and so therefore, it is really necessary to find your niche in how you want to build community. Right here in Miami in Overtown, we have Urgent Inc., the company of my daughters, they used to work for me and now work for them. We've started a mural program at Dorsey Park to commemorate where the Negro League baseball played. And we're bringing the children from the whole area, all the after-school programs into this site to build these beautiful murals. And now we're being honored by being part of the Knight Foundation People's Choice Award, because we're building this community by beautifying the community and bringing our resources and all this together. And if I can say this, if people will text the number 5 to 305-767-2200, they will be able to vote for us to get $20,000 for our community project to help the community and to help the children with this mural program. Text number 5 to
305-767-2200.
And today is the last day of voting. So if
I got it. I'm a interpersonal genius. So let's just slow that down again. 305
767
2200
and text number 5.
Okay.
2
I got it. I think I got it.
Okay, 305-767-2200.
You didn't get it? My brain, I haven't taken my Ritalin this morning, and maybe that's what it is. So you text number 5 to that number.
Yeah. And today's the last day of voting, and then tell your friends. And the thing is, I've had people from all over the world texting in, you know, for us to have this opportunity. And then I invite everybody to come to Miami and see how you helped this community to start transforming itself to a more beautiful place and having the children have pride of place. Because the thing is, as long as Urgent Inc. and the staff here, we were just inside this building running our after-school programs and our intergenerational programs and our grandparents raising grandchildren programs, you know, doing great things. But we really didn't start getting a feeling like we were really part of this community after 18 years of work until we started this mural program. We took our program outside and all the things that we teach, and basically the foundation of Urgent Inc. is my Rites of Passage curriculum. And so now, you know, we have been honored again by the Children's Trust, who helped fund us. They've given me the Champion for Children Award. That'll be, you know, happening in November sometime. So it's, you know, when you do your work and you give of yourself constantly, no matter where you are, even on the elevator or outside, just say hello. People are missing community because people are not speaking because they're afraid that they might get shot. They're afraid they might get beat up or beat down. Why are you looking at me? You know? But a kind and, you know, and lower your gaze. Look at people's noses when you talk to them. They will feel safe. You know, you look at their nose, and therefore it looks like you're looking at them. But people will start to feel safer if people stop looking in everybody's eyes. Unless, you know, it's, you know, of course, your husband or your very special partner. But look at people's nose. Look at children's nose. People will start to feel safe and start to communicate again.
So raising healthy children is really about a change of mind. It's about a whole, it's really expanding one's consciousness and doing one's work. I've always said parenting is a spiritual, highest form of spiritual practice. Because it really requires us to change what we know, what is not working. And I always look at children as a reflection of what we're taught and who we are. Because we are the tree, they're the fruit. So if there's something going on with the fruit, don't worry about the fruit. Go back to the tree and maybe investigate the root and see why is the tree, why the fruit, what's happening here? But sometimes we spend more time blaming, incarcerating, and doing all this stuff to the children, and we talk about how you said something. So, and I want to talk about it when we come back because there's a, there have quite a few emailed questions, but diet, changing the diet, giving children water. That's let's just start with there, giving children more water than the other stuff, and you know, it's a change of mind. Changing mind is not always easy, but if we're committed to creating harmonious communities, a community where we feel safe, loved, and honored and appreciated, then we got to do our work.
You know, you said something earlier. You said listening is an act of love. I was over here cheering when you said that. So I'm saying listen to your children. Listen to your children. And if you need to drink water while you're listening so your mouth won't be in it, or to have an apple there so you can bite on an apple to keep your mouth shut so you can listen. But you got to listen to them. It'll change their
life. If you need to pray, Lord, help me, because I'm about to say something that ain't pretty, but I know it. But Elder Emily Muti said, just keep your mouth shut. Just breathe. 17 seconds. Just hold your breath. No, don't hold your breath. Just breathe. Just breathe.
No, just
stay real slow.
Because if they let the children finish, they start to hear why. And then when they finish, say, is there anything else you'd like to add? And then they'll start again, and you keep asking that question until they repeat themselves. When they start repeating themselves, they said, okay, you've mentioned that, you're repeating yourself now. Now, are you willing to listen to my advice? Because I love you. Are you willing to listen? Then it's important that you use words that don't trigger them into fear, that you use words of love and kindness to let them know how much you love them, and then tell them, give them the wisdom that's coming through. If you breathe, drink water while the children are listening, and even take notes, what will happen is the kids say, you're taking notes? Yes, because I don't want to get it wrong. What I think you said is this. They say, well, that's what I said, but that's not what I meant. Then tell me what you meant. Don't tell them they're lying, because they're going to lie the first five times. Expect a lie or parts of lies to come out the first five times. And by the sixth time, you don't heard all the lies, then the truth starts to come out. As long as you continue to send them love and don't be yelling and acting like you're going to hurt them, that you're really listening, so therefore you can help guide them to their next best decision.
Indeed. And they lie to you for the most part, really, because they think you can't handle the truth. So, you know, we have to demonstrate that we can handle the truth so they can just be easy, maybe lie one time and then, okay, Mom, Dad, I know you ain't buying this. This is the deal.
We're going to take a break.
We're going to take a break. My guest is Elder Emily, a.k.a. Muti. Her website address is rightsofpassageonline.org. RitesOfPassageOnline.org. We are taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Just bring it all. This is a house of love. And while we're doing that, we're taking a break. We want you to share the show. Share the show. Just tweet it, text it, yell it, scream it. Maybe drag your child who's home. They think the child's under detention, but they're just reminding you that the child needs some love. Have them join in this conversation. We're going to take a break, come back with Celestial Moment, and then continue the conversation with Elder Emily, a.k.a. Muti. I've known her a long time. When I say Elder Emily, I feel safe. I feel at home. I get used to the Mooty. I'm going to get used to it. Just, but not right now, okay? what do I need to do? I don't know. Let's see. I think we can do this. Les Brown, what's going on? I have no clue. I am just super charged, super in love, super grateful. Yeah, Les Brown, please help me. I need some help.
Hello, this is Motivational Speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up. Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up. I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message from lock to my locker. Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 Cause there is no separation, cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are one, we are one, we are one. Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
There is no separation, 'cause we are one. That is the lesson in oneness. Carly Jackson. C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Carly Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. You can find her on Facebook. There is no separation, we are one. And when you remember that, when you recognize that, you can be the love that you desire to see. When you remember we are one, you can take care of the children today so you don't have to worry about the future. But if you're judging any child because of their race, because of their behavior, because of their neighborhood, careful, you're only judging yourself. Your judgment is simply a representation of your consciousness. So when you're judging next time, you may want to whisper it, because we are listening. It's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am so great. I'm loving what Elder Emily is sharing. And Life Coach today, my goodness, when are we going to have her back? And I have to ask this question. Did I hear that you're working around remembering the Negro Baseball League?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I have a big angel from the Negro Baseball League. His name was Jim Fireball Cohen. I will be following up with you about that. And one of my sacred missions is to share his story and also the practical ways that he helped to raise me. So I'm so grateful to hear that's happening. I will be following
up. Good.
Great. So I want to say hello to the family so we can keep this conversation going. Trust me, I need as many of the answers as well. So good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Monday, October 22nd, 2012. Add the date and you get 2044. Add 2044 and the energy of the day equals 10. The 10th letter of the alphabet is J, and words like justice, journey, and jubilant reflect the magical energy found in the number 10. 10 shows up as the turtle in the medicine cards, one of the oldest symbols of Mother Earth, reminding us that we have the inner fortitude to make a home within ourselves and not just hide underneath the shell. The pace of the turtle also reminds us to pay close attention. You will witness more wondrous sights on the path instead of rushing towards some grand ending. 10 also expresses as the wheel of fortune in tarot, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. This is the continuation of our own rites of passage as we consider this transitional card showing up as the wheel of life. Nancy Brady Cunningham reminds us to spin, for the seeker is the drumming as we circle around karma, now abundant, now declining. We are rolling out of pattern in our fated revolutions. We are tugged and we are padded till the cycles run together. And then chance is all that matters. Is chance really the only thing that matters, or is it truly the role that you play in this sacred dance when the wheel of life goes up with opportunities and perhaps down with adversities? Do we actually free ourselves by calling either good or bad? Yes, we do. We make room when we avoid dualistic, limited thinking. When we refuse to eat from the tree of good and evil, we find a gift to unwrap from all of our life circumstances. We contribute to the spin of the wheel by our reactions. We celebrate the ups and downs of life when we learn how to turn adversity into opportunity instead of events to be avoided. The wheel is the great equalizer, and none are spared its ride. The only thing that's constant in our lives is that movements involve movement and flux for our moments. But you can find your peace on this ride when you learn to move to the center. You can heed the message of the turtle that asks you to slow down and incorporate nurturing yourself regardless of where you might find yourself. The key is to remember that the 10, Wheel of Fortune, lives between the wise elder messages of the crone or the hermit. Our hearts guide the ride, and the gentle persistence of number 11, strength, shows us how to tame the lion. We do so with the strongest force known to man, and that's love. So learn to breathe if you're moving through cosmic birth pains or change. It is a reminder that your purpose is near. Embrace these rites and open to refreshing passages regardless of how the wheel is spinning. Take heart knowing that all is well. And that's the story of 10, told through the Wheel of Fortune. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister, my friend, wonderful co-producer. I appreciate you. Thank you for weaving it all together, you Spider Woman, you. Celeste, aka Spider Woman.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Celeste. Underneath Celeste, Tamara likes when I say underneath, but underneath Celeste, this song you're hearing is Destiny Muhammad. Harpist from the Hood. Beautiful song called Grace. To find out more about Destiny, our website address is destinymohammed.com. Check out the sister. And it's time to jump back in. I mean, we didn't even jump out, because let's weave it all together. The conversation continues as we change adversity and look at it as an opportunity to grow, to learn, to see who we are. And Elder Emily, a.k.a. Muti, is in the house supporting us to go through our own rites of passage as we're being challenged by the fruits of life that makes life so beautiful. And Elder Emily, I got some questions here. I want to get to it because I want to make sure I just go here. And some of these things you spoke to, but I'm going to read it anyway. Where are we here? Which one do I want to go first? There's so many here. Let's go here. One of the questions is, there have been much said about cyberbullying and bullying in general in schools and at home. How might having a rite of passage program address the social issues in the here and now? And the other part of the conversation is, how does technology come into play as we are working with young people about navigating their life on the web?
Yes. Well, first of all, cyberbullying happens because children are reaching out for a friend, reaching out for somebody to recognize them, talk to them, and they're taking terrible conversation as well as good conversation. But when they are part of a rites of passage program, that need is gone, because now they're in a family that is wholesome, that is leading them into their best life. And when they have all this wonderful technology around, the children have the opportunity to research whatever their special talents and their geniuses are. And because in the Rites of Passage program, we help them identify, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say they have 5 beautiful geniuses operating all at the same time at 100%. Everybody has at least 5% of each one, but they have 5 of them operating at 100%. We help them to see and imagine, using all 5 of those geniuses together, what would that profession look like? And then we help them to research and find all the different things they can do with the things that they are special at. And then now they're using technology in a way that enhances their life. And then we say, okay, now you don't have to work for nobody. You can have your own business, and you can start it right now while you're young. We launched Kadir's business when he was 14. And now he's only 38? And he talks about when he was young, and everybody's like, but you're still young. He's like, no, I started early. Okay. You know? And so it's important that they know that they can start their own business right now, you know, and they can start putting portfolios together and putting their sketchbooks together about concerning whatever they want to do with their lives. So they're not just sitting around learning to a test. They're actually going on beyond the test and promoting their lives using the technology.
Right.
And with the cyberbullying, they deny. They're like, huh? Yeah, I tell people cyberbullying and bullying and all this craziness, people are lying to you about who you are in order to break you down so they can use your energy, you know, for their own purposes. And I tell everybody, you turn around and become a teacher.
tell him that you. I said, I'm not accepting that bullying, and all that is going to go into your liver, into your body, and cause dis-ease, which is disease. And therefore, you may want to stop that. And therefore, now use your and help them to redirect their energy from what they're learning in the Rites of Passage program.
Let's talk about the technology for a minute, because you know we're the one that buy the iPads, the iPods, the phones, and the this and the that. I've seen young people sit down in front of a television with iPad on lap, playing games and watching a program. And if you did change that station, they would say, I was watching that. So we have kind of created a surrounding environment, a community for young people where they're, I don't know, maybe they're overstimulated, and sometimes we're worried about them being overly stimulated. And for me, I think really rather than say what it used to be like or trying to go back to what it was like, I think it's we are more empowered if we deal with what we have now. So I want to ask you, with the overstimulation and the information they're getting, how do we keep them grounded even with the iPad on their lap and watching television and listening to music in the room?
Okay. I believe all these fast rides that flip them all over the place, all of this multitasking with all this technology, being in several places at one time and being still on point, I believe our children are being prepared for space travel and to recognize and understand that there's other planets out there that have life on it and to be a part of the future, part of the new technology. I believe so they're multitasking and being overstimulated. They need, to me, this is the Emily. This is Elder Emily. They need all of this, so therefore they are now prepared, you know, for their next step. But now, getting prepared for the next step, getting prepared to go out into space, they need the science, they need the biotech, they need all of that, and therefore they need to start researching it now. So it's very important that this new technology that they have, that they start choosing, how do I want to fit into this future that really will be going to other planets? How will I fit in? Don't wait for somebody to tell you how you fit in. They choose it now. Help them to choose.
Talk about being a visionary, because I didn't see that as the coming. It's like, okay. but I get it. It's not like, okay, like, oh, where did she, I just lost her. No, I actually do get it. I had the television on yesterday, and they had, I don't know what they call it over here, but in England, it's the BMX bicycles, and where young people, I mean, young adults, are doing different kind of tricks and jumping from one truck to sidewalks to handrail. And I was looking at it, and I said, that is so amazing. It never occurred to me. I just used to think, oh, they were good. And they are good. But what occurred to me yesterday was really when they intend to put their bike on a handrail, it's happening in the mind first. They actually see that they can do that. When they have the motorbike spinning in the air, they've actually seen it in their mind first before they actually demonstrate it. And I just remember saying, wow, the power of the mind. And there's a lot of things going on, as you said, where there's so much going on. Talking about life on another planet, there's so much going on. And I really believe we're going to come to a place, people doing it already, where we would just, I mean, we've always done it, communicate with thought, with computers.
That's old.
I know, right?
When I was in Tibet, I was able to, using mental telepathy, I was able to talk to everybody. It was amazing to me. I would say to the translator, did he just say this? He said, yes. And then as I was, you know, speaking back, they said, they got it. I said, so the translators left out the room and said, you're on free float. Just go ahead on and communicate. It's amazing. And we will get back to that. But fax machines, TV, all this other stuff that, and phones, and the cell phone, and everybody got a cell phone in their ear, they can feel it. Because there are times when you say, I got to call my friend, and then the friend calls because you went on the emotional mail. Okay, email, the real mail, emotional mail.
And
then it
came
through. You know? So therefore, when you're tied into your emotions in a way of love for yourself and care and love for other people, you'll hear them. You'll hear them. So therefore, people will start, because there may be a time when the grids went down a couple of years ago and nobody had any cell phones, everybody had to go on the emotional email, on the emotional mail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
I do. No, I hear you, because I've always said, you know, I tell my friends, like, the Facebook and the apps that we have, all the things that we're using now is really an picture of what we've already done. I mean, back in the day, if you will, is that what we call the internet is really consciousness, you know, that interconnection where we
there
tune into consciousness and we have everything. So the app really is just we are the app of the consciousness called God, but it's our picturing as a laptop. You know, it's like when we really start thinking about it, it's like this is old, as you said, this is old. This is just an out picturing of what is already happening, and there's no separation. It's all one.
That's
now,
right.
I got another question. Oh, actually, before I go to that, I think you said there's like, what, 8 geniuses that children have.
Yes.
Do you have that on the website? Is there somewhere where we can
that? It's not on the, well, it's on the website because my books are posted on my website. My newest book is 13 Golden, no, not the 13 Golden Keys to Learning, but the
Super Learning
3000. Learning, you know, a simple learning made simple. And it's illustrated by Kadir. I have his original artwork from when he was 17 and all the original books in that book so people can see from where he was at 17 to where he is today. And in that book are the 8 geniuses and how to identify them in your child and how to put them into your mission and life purpose and then go ahead and put it into your life in balance. And basically the book moves you through how to work with your children, how to work with yourself first, and then how to work with your children.
Here's another question. Elder Emily, is it possible for adults to go back and reclaim rites of passage if they had troubling childhoods?
Yes.
How can this be used as a healing tool to address old wounds?
Basically, first of all, before they would start a rites of passage program for themselves, physically they must clean out their system. They must clean out their colon. They must change their diet, drink more water, get all that old memory scraped out their system so it stops firing up and acting like it owns them. And then if they read the book, there's another book that's on my website called why is my brain blinking? Look at there. You know, I'm blinking right here.
I like
stop
that. I like that your brain is blinking.
It's the 13 golden keys to learning. I went to say that. My brain said, no. You see how? And I teach this stuff. So therefore, I got to stay on top of my brain, be mindful of my brain, and take a breath. But it's the 13 golden keys to learning is also still in print, and basically is an extension of my rites of passage book that I had written when I was in Tibet. But the 13 golden keys of learning is like a self-help guide to get you through your own opportunity to go through your own rites of passage. And then if several people in your community would come together and y'all do and support each other. So therefore, as you go through this process, and because they have my book, they're free to email me at any time. Go to the website, rites is R-I-T-E-S, ritesofpassageonline.org. And when they do contact us, it comes directly to me, and I would be glad to answer any questions that they would need. But they also can bring in to do a rites of passage elder training, of course, which puts adults through the rites of passage.
Yes, that is important to help adults remember because, you know, some adults have forgotten and don't value their own experience. And everything that we've gone through is worth honoring, good or bad. And which actually takes me to a question. I've heard parents, especially mothers, tell their daughters that I don't want you to repeat the mistake that I do. That's why I do this. That's why I'm this. That's why I'm overprotective. What are your thoughts on that when parents become so overly concerned or worried about their daughters or their children repeating their mistakes?
Yes. Basically, when we're in denial about our mistakes and we haven't helped to heal them in ourselves, our behavior will dictate to us on how we're raising our kids, which throws our kids back into those mistakes. We want our children to accept our values, not their own values. Children choose their own values. It'll complement ours. A lot of parents want their children to choose the same professions and life's work that they do,
And they're saying to the child, I don't honor who you are and the talent you bring. And therefore, the child, because they're going to live the parents' life and live the parents' profession, live the parents' values, now they're pushing them in that direction and then saying at the same time, I don't want you to make the same mistakes I did. So the best way to support your child so they don't make the same mistakes is let them be who they are with their values, their aspirations for the future, with their genius and their special talents, and then support that. In my children's rooms when they were growing up, I had four children. Each of their rooms was decorated and had the library of whatever they say they wanted to do. So they could, and I would put college books in their rooms when they were only in the fifth grade. That way they were able to flip through and get interested and more interested and just embrace who they are in the body already. And now they just had to do some additional learning to get, you know, certified and credentialed and degreed or whatever they needed in order to pull that. Because your life's work, because I say you make your living from what you get, but you make your lives from what you give. And when you give and get with the same service, now you have a balanced life. And, and you're doing what you love. So it's not like work. Like, I'm really technically retired now as an engineer and math professor. What I do now is what I'll be doing until I can't breathe anymore. So people say, oh, you work so hard.
You'll be doing the work.
That's right. And if people say, oh, you work so hard, I say, work is my worship. Don't mess with my worship.
No, that's right. Stay out of my business. You're gonna find something that will keep you working, okay?
Right.
I'm happy just the way I am.
That's right.
There's some other questions, too. And but before I do that, I want to just invite listeners. Now, Elder Emily talked about the geniuses that children have, and she mentioned that it's in her book. Now, the first five listeners, go to rightsofpassageonline.org.
Okay.
Yes, they spelled it right because you may be tripped up by my accent. R-I-T-E-S of passageonline.org. First five, not the first six. No, I was going to do it, but I was late, so I did it. Well, if you're not part of the first five, that's all I can say. Email. I know that's it. If you're not part of the first time, you just buy yourself a copy. Elder Emily is giving away five copies for her book, her new book, Super Learning 3000, Learning Made Simple. Learning Made Simple. The first five listeners, five, F-I-V-E, five. Okay? After that, you buy. So let's real make sure that is clear. Yes, the number is 347-426-3346. Elder Emily, for most of our listeners, I know that from conversation with them, they meditate or try to meditate, at least meditate for 30 seconds. But how important is it to teach young people to meditate at a young age?
It's so important because when they quiet their mind, they get to hear their own genius, they get to hear their special talents, they get to hear and be and feel what it's like just to be themselves. It is, and then they meet an energy. I don't care what you call it God, Allah, Jah, or Jehovah, however you call on that wonderful energy that is like the glue for our world, for our universe, they get to meet that energy. They get to meet that energy and basically feel very comforted and loved by this Father, Mother, Christ consciousness of unconditional love, body energy. They get to really feel that. And whenever they start going in, they'll hear all this noise and chatter in their head trying to tell them that they forgot to lock the door, they've got to get up, they got to do this, they got to do that. Anything, because it knows that if they stay in that peaceful state, they will shut down that false ego that thinks it owns the child. So it's very important for them to help their children. And sometimes it takes a minute to get that quiet. What I did for my kids, especially my sons who just were very kinesthetic, very body smart, I had them go and find a tree. I'd go out to a forest or go out to a park. So find a tree that you like and go sit there. And sit there. And just sit there until the noise stops. Close your eyes and let the tree just soak up all your energy and feed you back good, fresh energy and oxygen from the leaves. until you hear a good message. And they would come back to me after half an hour and say, "Hey, nothing happened." I said, "Go back." They come back half an hour later, "Ain't nothing happened," they go back. And then all of a sudden, they would come to me and like, they would have this glow about them. Their eyes would be excited. I said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Guess what I heard?" And then I said, "Now I need you to write it in your journal. And any time you need a quiet, safe space, go back to your tree, any tree, all trees." That's why the Hug a Tree program worked so much when the children would get lost in the forest, because there is a spirit in every blade of grass, every drop of rain, every flower, every bush, every tree. And this energy, angels of the earth, angels of the fire, angels of the air, angels of the water, and angels of love, ether, is in every cell in our body and in every cell of that tree. And those angels come together to nurture and love us. We're literally submerged in angels. And our body is filled with trillions, 4 trillions and more of angels. There's 4 or 5 in every cell, every cell. And when they get quiet and meditate, they get to learn that they're not alone, and they have a troop of trillions of angels that support them at every turn of life. But you have to ask for what you want. You don't ask, you don't get. And that's the truth.
You know, you just gave me an idea that I'm going to share with listeners. For parents who want to put their kids in timeout, you can put them in be still time and say, "Go in, this is your be still time, and go listen to the inner voice and let me know what he has to say." Now, that's a whole different. No, women time. No, it's not time. It's just for you to be still and listen to your inner voice and come back and tell me what it's saying to you. Now,
and
that's
write
a whole
it down
different
in your journal.
Way of looking. I like that. But then again, would that be? Well, you know, sometimes some of the things our parents had us do when we were younger, when we become adults, we're like, "I hate it because my parents used to make me do that." Could that backfire later on in the adults? "I don't want to be still. My mother used to have me be still. I don't want to." Can that backfire?
No, because the thing is, when they're still and they do get quiet, they will love themselves, because that part, your highest ego, loves you and would never hurt you and would never tell you anything that would take you off your path of what you really want to be and do. And so there's no backfiring there. All it is gratitude.
What about children who are labeled now autistic? Children who can't sit still. How do we deal with that in trying to get them to listen to the inner voice?
Watch this. Autistic children are special children who have a genius that we don't know how to use yet. That's what that is. They're judged, and when they're judged, they're being psychically attacked, and then that attack is what's showing out on the outside of them and shutting them down even further. The only way you can work with autistic children, make sure they're getting their water, their rest, fresh fruits and vegetables and grains, that they're not doing any red dye, no soda, all that stuff fires in them, because autistic children, let's say they're sitting in a restaurant, they will hear the cash register dinging, the doors opening, the chairs creaking, the chef talking in the back to the other chefs, to the short order cooks. They will hear it all at one time, all at one time. And basically, and then all of a sudden the noise just gets too big, especially when they're being psychically attacked or talked about like they're not even there. The main thing for autistic children is to have that love and peace, because autistic children feel and hear everything. Everything. And therefore you let them know that they have a genius to do that, then they can focus where they want instead of being annoyed by all the noise. I walk down, let's say, aisles at a grocery store, and autistic, you know, especially the younger ones, they'll see me and we'll look and I'll wink at them, and then they start talking to me, and the parents like, "Can you talk to my child? He doesn't talk to anybody." And I said, "I'd love to." So then they would tell me, of course, that he's an autistic child. I said, "Yeah, I'm sure." I said, I said, "You're an angel. You have a genius. You have a genius that we don't know how to use yet, but you stay steady and know that what you have is a gift." And then we just go on and try to ask them, "What do you want to do when you grow up? What's your favorite things to do?" No matter what age, 3 years old and up, I meet autistic children all the time. And when I have autistic children who come to my programs, I keep them next to me in order to protect their energy and protect them from other people who would judge them.
Right, right. I mean, imagine what it's like inside of a child when a mother, a father, a teacher, somebody around them is saying, "Ah, this child is," they're thinking, "this child is so hard to deal with. I wish I never
had to
deal
with this." And they hear it. They feel that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they go to the child and say, "Come here, I love you." And when the child is pushing away, they're thinking, "Ah, I just can't deal with it." So really, the autistic children are a gift for us to remember how we are showing up, what we are thinking, and how,
yes,
you know, and how true we are about, how true are we to ourselves. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Two more questions. One, I want to ask you, this month we're focusing on living the vision for your life and supporting listeners to tap into their dreams, their passion, and live the vision for their lives. As parents, as adults, as caregivers, people who care about humanity, who support children in remembering their vision and living the vision.
Yes. But if you have no vision, if you have no dream, there's no dream to come true. If you have no vision, there's no way for it to come true. And so therefore, for this month, their job is to have to sit down with your child, get magazines, and do a vision board. You know, no matter how young, you should see some of the things that the children do. You know, they can be painting it. They can even do a vision board that has magazine pictures and crayon and painting. Just let them express themselves to see what is it. And what I do is I tell my children sometime when they get trouble in my after-school program, I say, "Okay, go and draw me what you think the happy classroom looks like." And they come back with some brilliant stuff, you know. You know, people say, "Oh, Emily, you're so smart, you're so this." Oh, no, I'm not. The children are my leaders. The children are my guides, and they're the ones who show me all this stuff. You know, I'm just a follower, really. When it comes to what is coming through me, I'm asking the children, and they're telling me, and I'm embracing what they're telling me and living it and teaching it. Yes, let your children teach you.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Quickly, listeners, yes, the first 5 listeners get a copy of Elder Emily's book. What do you do when you get to the website? You click the contact button. So you send
First of all, go look at the book on the books page,
right.
You know, and then after they look and say, "Oh, yeah, I want that," then go ahead to the contact button and put all your information in, when you heard me, you know. You have to say that you were listening to this, to the Life Conversation show. And then give me your address and your phone number, and Adel will come to you.
That's right. Real that simple. Contact us. Tune in. And you get a copy. The first 5. Okay, one last question I want to ask you. I have several questions, but I'm just going to ask this last one. Does rite of passage guarantee that children will not get in trouble?
Well, I can't say it guarantees it, because the children and the parents have to do their work. The children have to, you know, the parents must support what they're learning, must support their child's genius, and must support them with love. So to me, the formula works, and it works. And even when it doesn't appear to be working, it's still working. I remember when there were children who went through the rites of passage with me. I had no indication that they were going to make it. And then I saw them years later as adults, and they told me if it hadn't been for the rites of passage, the vision.
We're losing you.
You're losing me? Hello? Hello? Did I lose you?
Oh, there you are. We got you back. I had to breathe in and breathe out and connect. I got your hands. Okay, go ahead. I got you.
Okay. I don't know if they were hearing that I was saying that the formula works when you do the process. Leave nothing out. And it has to be done with love and compassion and patience. But I was saying that there were children who I met years later who I had no indication they were going to be okay, because during the program they weren't letting me know. And then they let me know that it hadn't been for the Rites of Passage program that set them going forward, centered in their lives with their values and their genius and their special talents. They would have never made it. And they thanked me profusely for always believing them all the way to the end.
Yes. Yes, if we don't tune in, we miss out. We got to tune in. Elder Emily, I have so enjoyed you, and like I said, yeah, we're definitely going to have you back, because sometimes we leave children out of the spiritual conversation. I love your energy. I love who you are. But before we let you go, is there anything bubbling up for you, something you want to talk about that I didn't ask you, or just something you're feeling right now that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, the main thing is please go and vote for text 5, you know, to, because that's $20,000 that I can put toward my kids. Enjoy, get my son Kadir Nelson's book. Go to Kadir, K-A-D-I-R, Nelson.com, and look at his new books that are coming online and just enjoy his work. Send love to Rochester, New York, where on November 30th I'll be doing a Rites of Passage for Children there through the city. And just continue to send love to me so I can continue this work. And I'll send, and when I feel that love, I'm definitely sending it back. I love you all, and thank you so much for embracing this information.
Yes. And just to make sure, when you said your children, you're not talking about your Bible, you're talking about the children that you take
care
of. No, I'm
talking about all my kids.
All that money from her children? I can't believe. She's talking about all her children. And to text the number 5 to 305-767 2200.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You know, people listen differently now. I was like, I can't believe she gets a text number so she can get money for her children.
No, it's for the children that I serve.
All our children, right?
That's all our children. That's right. And it's the children of Overtown are my kids. Yes.
Right, because you may be running for office one day. You may want to be the president and start pulling this, pick up these shows, and you are raising public money for yourself. We want to make sure that's clear.
Thank you,
Elder Emily. I so love and appreciate you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for healing our planet one child at a time.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm looking for when I get to come back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're coming back. It's already done. We already have an appointment. We just have to go get still and listen for the date. It's already written. It's already done. We're back together again, you and I.
Thank you.
Have a great day. You're welcome. And love to your daughter and all your children and everybody else that's supporting you in the process and all the elders.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Peace and blessings.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings. Wow, life is good. It's getting better. To find out more about Elder Emily, it's ritesofpassageonline.org. Now, I want to do this. Elder Emily was talking about autism, autistic children, and Abraham, those of you know Abraham Hicks, her, non-physical beings, they talk about the gift of autistic children. I want to play that right now. So if you know somebody, if you have children who are autistic, or you just know that they're autistic, children on the planet, you need to listen to this. That simply means everybody got to listen to this. So, and it really backs up what Elder Emily's saying. Not that she needs it to back up. I don't need her to be backed up. It's just truth. Truth is truth. So listen to this and see what Abraham has to say about autistic children.
Yeah.
Something more?
Well, I also work with children that have disabilities. They have autism. And my biggest question is, I'm trying to understand, you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but who created the autism or the disease for a child that didn't have a choice?
Everyone has a choice, and so there are a number of things that we want to give you about this. First and foremost, every one of you who makes the decision to come forth into these physical bodies has full view of the physical body you're coming into before you come. So no one gets trapped in a situation that is different from what they want. No exceptions to that. That's helpful to know. Really a downstream feeling thought, isn't it? Now, there are powerful teachers, especially now who are coming forth, who have been, from their non-physical vantage point, aware that there are so many humans who have forgotten about vibration and alignment, who are disregarding their own guidance system, who are trying to make their life work by trying to control conditions. And the teacher in you knows that anybody that's trying to make anything better by controlling conditions is going to experience a life of futility, because there will always be those conditions you can't control, because it's not your job or your right or your ability to control what's going on in everybody's experience around you. Their lives are their lives to create and control. So rather large numbers of energies are coming in deliberately wanting a physical condition that they can't be talked out of or demanded out of. In other words, they say, I'll go forth and I'll be different enough that you can't pound this square peg into a round hole. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to control me. I'm going to be free, you see. So as you interact with them, if you get the wonderful experience of interacting with them when they're not being challenged by a system that's trying to change them. In other words, imagine how frustrating that would be to be fulfilling your intent from your source perspective and making it all the way into a physical body different enough that people can't control you and then notice they're still trying to control you. That's the frustration and outrage that you see in them. They want to say to you, and if they were better with their words, they would say to you, wait a minute, I went to a lot of trouble to be different. You're supposed to leave me alone. And those that are in an environment where somebody's not now trying very hard to make them normal, you called it a disability, they would call it an advantage. In other words, from source perspective, it would go something like, I decided that I'm going to take the powerful being that I am, and I'm going to go forth into a physical experience, and I'm going to be different enough that you can't control me, which means I'm going to be one of the few people on the planet that you'll ever meet that knows that I am free. Because I choose freedom over your approval of me. And then the society who is embarrassed by them or worried about them is forever trying to, oh, we'll just find one more way that we can bring you to normalcy. And they've come forth to say, we didn't want to be like you. That's why we chose to be different. We've come to offer a message that there is balance and value in our differences. We've come to teach unconditional love. Most people talk about unconditional love, but they don't live it. Most people say, oh, you're so sweet, I love you under those conditions, and you are so strange. I cannot love you under the... So if you would just be more like that, it would be ever so kind to me, because I want to love you, and if you were more like that, I would be able to love you. So just try to change a little bit so that I can feel better. Where unconditional love says, I want so much to be connected to Source that I will see whatever I'm looking at through the eyes of Source, which means I do not need you to be different so that I can feel better. I have the ability to adjust my gaze to align myself with Source. Unconditional love says, I will find connection with Source and then I will look. Conditional love says, I will ask you to be the way I need you to be so that when I look, I will feel better. Huge difference. Unconditional love is absolute freedom. Conditional love is absolute bondage. So these blessed beings have come forth as teachers of freedom. And interesting, the most interesting thing of all, they feel free even when you try to control them. It's such an interesting thing. So the autistic child feels free and isn't worried about anything, have you noticed?
Exactly.
And the people that are trying to get them to be different so that they can feel better are in absolute bondage.
Right.
And the child says, I don't know what your problem is. And the teacher or parent says, you're the problem. And the child says, you kind of need to get over that because I can't change. If you're going to interact with me, you've got to discover unconditional love. And when you do, you'll be free like me. And then maybe so many of us won't have to come forth autistically in order to teach this to you. They're having a very good time.
Yes.
Watch them up close and feel the joy of their being. And tell them, you need not change a hair for me.
Bless you. That's right. Thank you.
You can use. It's all about unconditional love. What Emily said, you know, they have abilities that we don't yet have, that we're tapping into, that we're learning to connect with, that we're reminding ourselves about. And autistic children are saying, listen, I choose freedom over your approval of me. Isn't that what we all want? We want to be free, in spite, regardless of people, if people approve of us or not. Maybe we can learn from them. Now, there's some of you that believe, no, it's a vaccine that caused that. So, hey, listen, whatever you believe, as long as it's working for you, keep doing it. If it's serving you, if it's working for you, keep doing it. But we must go back to the source. We must go back to the beginning and remember that we are all an extension of source of God, of goodness, of the holy breath. And as you remember that, you become empowered to support your children, your niece, your nephews, your cousins. We need each other. We are one. We are one indeed. And until we learn the lesson of oneness, we're going to be in the same vibration. And sometimes that vibration is being on this planet. So you get to come back and keep fine-tuning and keep fine-tuning. It's not about you. It's about the journey of your soul. You are your soul. And when you remember that, you're not tripping about coming back and doing it again. But if you don't remember that you're a soul in a body, you say, that's it. I'm just done. This is my last time on this plane. Shut the flip up. You don't know nothing about nothing. Like you really have control. No, when you recognize, when you remember who you really are, you surrender, you embrace it all. If you have to be back here again, come back to whatever you believe, it is all God. It is all good. It is all great. And then you can be in gratitude. Be grateful for who you are, how you're showing up, all of life. Yes, we're encouraging you to support your children, the young ones, and don't judge. Don't judge. Well, sometimes we do, but when you do catch yourself, when you find yourself judging another child, remind yourself, oh my God, that's a reflection of my consciousness. Oh, that's what's going on deep down. I didn't know. So judgment really is can be good. It helps you know what you're thinking. It helps you know the thought behind the thought. It's time to release the show. You just heard Abraham expressing through Esther Hicks. And to find out more about Esther Hicks' work and Jerry and Abraham, you can go to abrahamhicks.com, abraham-hicks.com. It's time to release the show. Join us tomorrow for Spiritual Romance. We're going to dance. That's right. We're going to make love together. And whatever you do with that statement is on you, because we are all here to make love, to embrace love, to be love. So if you only see making love as one thing, then you need to expand your consciousness. Tomorrow, we are talking about Spiritual Romance, a new way to relate. Oh, Lord, yes. If you can't handle it, don't show up. Because if you show up, I'm going to make love with you. We're going to create love, multiply love, and let love be our guide. Why are we afraid of saying stuff like that? Why did he have to say it like that? I don't care. It's all about love. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself and be loved. Allow the love to flow in and out. I'm out of here. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings. Agape Choir.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.